share what he's given us. Pretty simple little message this morning, seems like, but I believe if God gives us something, it's worth reading, worth listening to. In Luke 10, I want to read a little passage of scripture here. Luke 10 and 17, it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." You know, this morning, I believe all this is tied together. Satan fell from an exalted place in relationship to people and in their hearts, didn't he? When Christ came, he gave his people power over every power of the enemy, over all the scorpions, over all the serpents. The spirits of the enemy were subject and are subject to God's people. And you know, this morning, the Lord gives us that. But you know, the disciples came back and they found this newfound thing and they were rejoicing in that. And the Lord said, you know, he said, I give unto you that power. But he said, notwithstanding in this, don't rejoice in that. Now, you know, I have to believe there's several reasons he said that. But, you know, I'm thinking about life, and I've seen times of great rejoicing and when it just seemed like the heart could take no more. I've seen times of high peaks and wonderful rejoicing. And then we've seen times that were very low and confusing, and the enemy was working and it was hard to discern the way and all of those things. And you know, if we set our joys in that, I believe that's one reason the Lord told them, don't rejoice in these things. But I'll tell you what you rejoice in, he said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, this morning, I want to bring a little thought to us this morning that the weakest one here that has been washed in the blood of Jesus and is living a life pleasing to him, the weakest one here has something wonderful to rejoice about. And I just want us to take courage this morning that whatever peak, whatever valley, whatever place that we are in, we are in a place that we can rejoice. Did you know the scripture tells us to rejoice always? You know why? Because it doesn't have anything to do with this life as far as the battles that we're in or the victories that we're winning. But it has everything to do with the Lord. It has everything to do with, you know what, if you're ready to meet God and you don't have any sin in your life and you don't have, these things have been put behind us and forgiven and God is, when we are having a relationship with the Lord, do you know that we have something wonderful to rejoice about? Every one of us has something wonderful to rejoice about. And you know, the Lord, I believe, wants us to rejoice in that. He wants us to lift up our eyes and look up. What is heaven anyway? Have you ever just, I'm sure most of us have you ever just sat and daydreamed a little bit, wondering what heaven is going to be like? Well, I know my finite mind can't take it in. I know that I can only imagine, but I can't imagine. I can think a little bit about what God has given to us. Do you know that that we have something to rejoice about this morning? You know, no matter how we feel this morning, if you are a child of God, I want to encourage you this morning to rejoice. I want to encourage you to cut loose from the enemy telling you, yeah, but You know what? We don't have to worry about all those things. He told them here, he said, don't rejoice because they're subject to you. But I'll tell you what, you rejoice about your name is written in heaven. You know, that's what will give us authority. That's what will give us strength. That's what will give courage to you and me. That our name is written in heaven. Folks, when our name is written in heaven, that means that all the promises of heaven are ours. That means they're not just somebody over yonder that you feel like is a lot stronger than you. It means it's yours. It's mine. If our names are written in heaven. The weakest one can put forth their foot and rejoice because our names are written in heaven. Thank the Lord this morning for that simple little thought. That the Lord wants every one of us to know that if our life is clear with God, that our names are written in heaven and we have something to fix our thoughts on. We have something to fix our joy in. And we have something to rejoice about. We have something to look forward to. Because, Lord, all I have to do is live for you every day. I'm not having to do some major feats in myself. I just have to serve you today. And if I serve you today and I'm ready to meet you, all that heaven has to offer is mine. And tomorrow is the same. And all I have to do is just live one day at a time. I don't have to see the future as if I have it all contained and all lassoed and all right subject and everything's in order. Everything. You know what? I just have to know I'm serving the Lord. I'm going to serve Him today, and by His grace, I'm going to serve Him all the days of my life. And you know, when we do that, saints, we have something wonderful to rejoice about. You know, I was just thinking a little bit about heaven. And in John, the 14th chapter, we've all read this lots of times. But Jesus said, he said verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Now here, they were rejoicing over there. Now over here, he says, don't let your heart be troubled either. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. I know the Lord has to speak in descriptive language to us because He couldn't tell us things that we have no way to relate to. So He says there's many mansions there. Now, I don't think we're going to get over there. I hope I don't get over there and find a 6,000-foot house. I hope it's a lot more than that, a lot better than that. If that was the mansion that I'm going to get, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be disappointed. But I believe the Scripture says God is a spirit. And we're spirit. We're spirit too, aren't we? We have a body, but we're going to leave that body behind. And we're going to take upon us a new body. And we're going to have, in that day, things are going to be different. I don't know what it's all going to be like. But Jesus, the best He could tell us was, He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You know who you is? It's you and me. It's all of us, folks. The Lord's went to prepare a place for us. Take courage this morning. We don't have to face tomorrow's battles today. We don't have to know all the things. We don't have to have our life all mapped out, folks. We just have to have our heart clear with the Lord today. We just have to do what God's requiring of us today. We walk with Him today. We draw from His Spirit today. We live for Him today. And then you know what? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for people like you and me. This morning, He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Have you ever thought about being where the Lord is? I don't know how many of us here have really felt the Spirit of the Lord draw near, the presence of God draw near in a way that you felt Him. Now, I know that we live by faith, but I've seen times too when I felt the presence of the Lord. so close and so near. And I will tell you something. You don't want to leave that. It's very special. I've been in meetings right in this place when we felt the Spirit of the Lord draw near, have we not? As a whole. And we felt the Spirit of God descend upon the place. And we felt His presence. And it was very precious, wasn't it? I have to think it's only a little down payment. The earnest of the Spirit is just a down payment, folks. One of these days, we're going to be able to be in His presence. He said that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the Lord. He's going to take us to Himself. And is that not going to be a place that we can't hardly even imagine? You know, the angels that are in heaven, the angels of God that resound, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know, the angels that sang at the time out there when, the shepherds in the field, I believe. And they saw the angels singing before them. And we're going to hear that. Folks, we have something to rejoice about this morning. Just want to encourage you today to get your eyes up on the Lord and to rejoice. Folks, we know persecution may come to all of us, and it will come to all that live godly in Christ Jesus. And we know that affliction is going to come upon us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says. And we know that we're going to face a lot of things. And every day isn't going to be bright. But I will tell you one thing. We need to keep our hope of heaven bright and clear. We need to keep a hope that I'm living for a day. And I will tell you, I keep it ever before me. I'm living for a day. I don't want anybody to rob me of it. I don't want to give it up. I don't want to take an easier way out. I want to find that day. I want to find that place. I want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This morning, let's allow the Lord to work with us. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, Paul says here, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. An house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. You know, in this tabernacle, he says, we do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Folks, this morning, we have the earnest of the Spirit of God. We have the little down payment, and that's wonderful enough. But you know, one day, if we're faithful, each day we'll meet the Lord in peace, and we'll find Him. I want to read in Revelation 21 and 22, just a little bit here. But listen to what it says here. And I saw, Revelation 21 and 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And you know, I know this may have more than one application, but I somehow believe heaven's going to be like this. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. You know, the other day, a group was gathered, and they asked what they were afraid of. And several of them said the dark. They were afraid of the dark. Well, you know, this morning it says there isn't going to be any night there. And it says here, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Now, you know, today, we don't know what's going to come around. We know nothing's going to defile the church of God. But people that are wicked come and defile places all the time. We see that in the news just yesterday or a couple days ago. Unbelievable. Almost beyond human. It's hard to think about. But you know, there's going to be a place and a time that there's not going to be anything that enters into it that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those are the saved, folks. And that's all. That's going to be a heavenly place, is it not? And he showed me a pure river of water, chapter 22, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You know, I just look at all of those things and I realize I want to find that place with the Lord. I want to be there. Saints, it's going to be worth it one day. Whatever we have to endure, there's been some times in my life that I made the statement to myself, if I have to crawl, I'm going to get there. And there's been some times that I felt like I was crawling. I felt like I was clawing my way up the side of a mountain a little bit at a time. But you know, it hadn't all been like that. I've seen a lot of wonderful times and a lot more wonderful times than I have hard times. But you know, this morning, whatever there is, it's nice to enjoy those things, but that isn't where our real joys are. Our real joy is in the hope that our name is written in heaven. You know, another scripture talks about those that have gone before us will be caught up in the clouds with us and meet the Lord in the air. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Saints, we have something to rejoice about this morning. Maybe sometimes we have to put ourselves a little more over there and a little less here in our hearts and minds. I heard Brother Austis, or I don't know if somebody told me he said it, or I heard it on one of his tapes maybe. But he said there's a time when you have to encourage people to just put your hope over there more. And your hopes just have to go over there. You know, sometimes we have to do that, folks. But I believe it's a lively hope. I believe it's something that the Lord wants us to enjoy the very thought of. Lazarus, you remember Lazarus? Lazarus was a beggar. Lazarus was full of sores. Lazarus laid at the gate of the rich man. But we see a different picture at the end of Lazarus' life, don't we? We see where the scripture tells us that Lazarus, it says, now is comforted, and thou art tormented, talking to the rich man that never humbled his heart. But you know, this morning, that gives us a little picture. Lazarus was comforted. Do you know that you and I will be comforted if we remain with the Lord, true to His word, true to Him? I believe we've got to keep heaven in view this morning. I want to read a song, number 213. We've sang it a lot of times here. Ever keep heaven in view? Just want to listen to these words, because I believe it's so pertinent to our life. If we want to make it, if we want to have courage, if we want to have strength, we need to keep the goal in mind. We need to keep focused, because pain, because sorrow, because trouble, because fear can cause us to become focused on the wrong things. And if we're not careful, it can drown us. Peter became focused on the water that he was walking on. Peter was walking on the water, but you know what? The Lord had to help him out, didn't he? But he got focused on the wrong thing. It says, Pilgrim of Jesus, or life's troubled sea, courage and onward pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, what saddens thy brow? Are not his promises true? How needless thy sorrow. He's bidding thee now, ever keep heaven in view. Don't sorrow over these things. I think Jesus would say the same thing that he said to those that were rejoicing. I don't believe he meant don't have any joy in that. I believe what he was trying to tell them was, keep heaven in view, folks. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on those things. You'll make it one day if you'll do that. Don't get lifted up because of what God has done, and don't get cast all down because of what we feel like he hasn't done. But one day, if we keep heaven in view, it says, how needless thy sorrow, he's bidding thee now, ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, oh, lift up thy head. Ask, and thy strength he'll renew. And while in the footsteps of Jesus you tread, ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, that Eden above. Now, you ever stopped and tried to visualize? I do these kind of things sometimes. I've tried to think what the Garden of Eden was like. Tried to visualize it. What was it like? What was Adam's? How was it all done? Did Adam have a garden? You know, what was it all like? But I know this. It was called Eden, which we know is a place of bliss. It's like a paradise. And it says here, that Eden above in this song, long has been waiting for you, and soon thou shalt reach thy fair mansion of love. Ever keep heaven in view. Ever keep heaven in view, the chorus says. Ever keep heaven in view. Courage, my brother, right onward pursue. Ever keep heaven in view. You know, I know this is a pretty simple little song, message this morning. But folks, it's very critically important to you and me. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. We've got to keep our eyes on the light that never dims. We've got to know that beyond the clouds, there is sunshine. I think of that often when clouds come. And when things get dark and all those things, I'm thinking, you know what? On the other side of this globe, it is perfectly, it is lighted. And out there, just beyond the horizon, is a bright shining sun that's as bright as it ever has. It's just bright like it always is. That's what we see. That's what we know. By faith we know that, don't we? But we know it. Well, that's the way the Lord is too. We have to recognize he's always there. He's always in his brightness, in his glory, in his power. And he's asking you and me to walk by faith a few steps. He's asking you and me, as he asked his son, I want you to walk by faith a few steps here, son. I have a job for you to do. Have you found out what your job is this morning? Have you asked the Lord? Lord, I'm treading a few steps here. Seems like I don't have much to do. Would you give me something to do? Would you help me to know what it is that you have in mind? Because I simply believe that unless we're breathing our last breath, and even then, we have a witness to make to the Lord. I believe the Lord has some things for us to do this morning. You know, I've mentioned this several times the last few months, but Revelations 3 and 11, it says, behold, I come quickly. This is the Lord's. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Folks, don't let any man take your crown. Don't let any cost take your crown. There's forces coming from Satan himself that wants to take your crown, that is bent to throw you down. But I will tell you, if we keep our eyes on the prize, if we keep our eyes above the things that happen to us, if we keep our eyes above all the winds that blow, the winds of confusion. You know, many people have sometimes just thrown in the towel. There's just too many winds. No, folks, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. And rather than just be on defense all the time, rather than just hang on, let the Lord use your life. Draw close to Him. Don't we know that He has power over the waves and the winds? Don't we know that those waves were coming in that boat? Don't we know that boat was taking on water and it was going to sink? And the Lord said, "Why are you so faithless?" Something to that order. Why would you be so faithless? I'm here. I'm on board. And I believe the Lord wants us to get our eyes up, folks. Get our eyes up. Lift up your eyes. For your redemption draweth nigh. You know, in Ecclesiastes 9 and 7 is a verse here. It says, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works." Do you know this morning that if God accepts us, if God has saved us, He says, "Go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works." You know, the Lord wants us, I believe, to not just be under things all the time. He wants us to enjoy and rejoice in the goodness of God and in the things He has given. It is easy for people. It is easy for us to fix our eyes on whatever it is. For one, it's fear. For another, it's affliction. For another, it's persecution. For another, it's many things. And the Lord tells us, if He has accepted us, if we've been accepted in the Beloved, shouldn't we rejoice in that? Shouldn't we lift up our eyes from the things that affect us in the physical and rejoice in the things? I believe one scripture in Revelation talks about, it says they gave glory to God. What was that mentioning about? Anyway, they were persecuted or something, and it says the part that was left, they gave glory to God. When they were so punched. That's what they did. Folks, it's our work in this world to give glory to God. It's our work to keep our eyes up. Lord, bless each one of us this morning that we can keep our hope in Him and keep walking. Just to keep walking in a world that all around us is full of sin and disgrace, that's a blessing. I want to read another scripture or two in Hebrews 6 and 18. Hebrews 6 and 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Folks, we have this hope in the Lord as an anchor to our soul. Do you know what an anchor it is? Because sometimes we need an anchor, don't we? Sometimes we need something to hold us when the waves are bashing us. And it feels like our boat would come apart or that we would somehow get thrown out into the waves mercilessly. And yet He says this hope is an anchor to the soul. It'll keep us solid. It says both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. And it goes on. So we want to take hope in that. 1 Peter 1 and 3. It's another place. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I encourage us this morning to let the Lord give us a lively hope. A hope that is founded in his word. A hope that, if you can listen to some messages online and things when from time to time, that is such a blessing. I just want to encourage all of us to shore up and strengthen those things that God has given us. It says, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, this morning we have an inheritance. I think we need to know this. I think we need to believe this, to take it in. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible. You know what that word means? It's not corruptible. It's not something that can go back to the dirt. It's incorruptible. It's not able to be defiled. And it says undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you this morning. That's what the Lord has given to us. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, verse 6. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, sometimes we fall into those places, don't we? And the apostle says here, if need be, that maybe it's needful. And he goes on to explain that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Now, why would it be more valuable than gold that perisheth when it's tried? Because this is of an eternal value. And the things that come to us and they put fire on our life and they try us, you know what's coming to the top? Dross. And the Lord wants it out of there. And it's more valuable. It's more valuable than of gold. The trying of gold. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can you rejoice like that in a world like we live in? Because of the Lord. Because of his grace in our life. Because of his love to us this morning. Well, we have just a few other scriptures here. Romans 5 and 1 and 2. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And you know, then it goes on to explain to us that the trials, the tribulations that we have teaches us to know that God will bring us through each time. It teaches us that God is faithful. How many of us have been in deep places and we've seen God come through every time? Every time. We have seen him. We have seen his great hand at work. And you know, doesn't that give us hope? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Titus 3 and 1. Another. One to eight. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. You know, he says, don't speak evil of somebody else. We know we were foolish too. Maybe not in exactly the same way, but we were foolish too. And he says, We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Folks, that is so wonderful. You know, we were all in that place. Every one of us were sinners. Every one of us had shame. And yet, the kindness and love of God appeared unto us. And He saved us. And He saved us from ourselves. And He saved us from our sin. And He saved us to a bright hope, an eternal hope. It says here that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know who we're heirs with? We're heirs with the Lord Himself. We're heirs with all the saints that went before us. You know, sometimes I think about that. Are we going to know all of these people? Are we going to be able to go to Paul and Peter and tell them, look, I want a personal accounting of this. I want to hear this for myself. Are we going to be able to sit down and talk about the things of how God changed people's lives, millions of them that we've never known? Are we going to be able to have, I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm persuaded it's going to be better than I can think. It's going to be, my finite mind can't take it in. And folks, it says here that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, never to fade away. It's something for us to hold on to. It's something for us to hold on for. Heirs of eternal life. There's going to be a time, saints, when we'll receive that's called eternal. It never fades away. And we want that, don't we? You know, if we have our name enrolled there, won't that be wonderful? When the Lord searches the book as it is, and He says, come in, thou good and faithful servant, well done, I believe that's going to be a day. But isn't it going to be something, dear ones? Where is our name going to be if it's not there? Shouldn't it put some fear upon our souls? I wanted from early on, I don't want to miss that time. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. And I want to challenge you today. Think about that this morning. Where is the ungodly and sinner going to appear? Where are those that have never submitted themselves unto God going to appear? Isn't it something for us to look to? I believe in eternity. I believe in this place that's never going to end, of heavenly judgment with the Lord. I also believe that there's a place called hell, where those that don't live for God will never be able to go there. And they'll always be in that place. You know, this morning, shouldn't it make all of us take notice today and say, Lord, I want to know. I want to know that my name is there. I want to be able to have that bright hope that You have given to all Your children. No matter how much they suffer, no matter what they've gone through, I want to tell you something. If they met the Lord in peace, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. Thank the Lord this morning. I believe it's going to be worth it all in the end. For myself, I believe it. And I set my life in that direction. And by the grace of God, I trust there will never be anything that keeps me and makes me think otherwise to turn my way from that goal that we have in the Lord. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Folks, it's not just all about heaven. it's also about this life. I thank the Lord. So many times when you get in deep places, and what do you do? Sometimes I wonder, what do people do in these places? What do they have to take or drink to get away? But you know what we find? We find a strong consolation in the Lord Jesus. Do we not find hope in His comfort that He brings to our soul? Do we not find a joy that He gives us right in the midst? Now, you know, sometimes the way gets hard, it does. And I can't say that I just have joy every minute of that. But I'll tell you what the Lord brings. He brings along those times of refreshing right in the midst. Nothing changes, but God stepped on the scene. And I saw Him work, and I've seen Him work. And I thank the Lord this morning. I want to read one more in Luke 21 and verse 26. I believe from what I understand that this is speaking of the end of time. But it says here that men's hearts will be failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Folks, keep it ever before us. Our redemption draweth nigh. Are we amazed? Are men's hearts beginning to fail them for fear? In a big part of the world, they are. For the things coming on the world. The things that we see that continuously grows unbelievably. Things that we hear that are more amazement to us than our mind can hardly take in. Our minds are hardly made for such twisted wreckage. But it's happening, isn't it? But you know, we see a lot of things happening and coming. And Jesus said, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then fall down in fear. He says, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, folks, the most they can get from us is our life. And we go to heaven. That's the most. But you know, this morning, the Lord help us each one. If you're not ready to meet the Lord, folks, listen. Listen to the words of life that God has written for us, that He, by His inspiration, penned to us, warning everybody before that day, get ready, get ready, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back in power, in the clouds, with power and great glory. I'm coming back. Won't we be ready to meet Him? Saints, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. When you see these things, then don't let our hearts fail us for fear. Lift up our eyes to the skies. Lift up our eyes to the Lord. Lift up our eyes to the hope, the anchor that anchors our soul in these kind of times. Lift up our hearts and go on. And not just go on, but folks, I want to give it my best run. Let's give it all we've got. Let's give to the Lord the best of our years, the strength of our life. Let's don't wait and hope that someday I'll just make something right before I get in. No. Folks, let's give him the best we've got. I want to encourage us this morning. Heaven awaits. We're told about it. There's a lot more about some of these things than what we mentioned. But you know, we just scratched the surface, even with all the scriptures. We just scratched the surface. I believe heaven will surely be worth it all. Amen.